What would you do if your pet was sick but you couldn't afford the vet bills to bring them back to good health? Well, a new community vet clinic will be established in Castlemaine soon to help provide care at a discounted rate. Dr. Yvette Barclay is a vet in Castlemaine and can tell you more. Why is this clinic needed in Castlemaine?
It's really in response to the need to provide access to vet services for people and animals who just may not otherwise have the resources. So, you know, as the cost of living increases, so do vet costs, and vet costs are already really high, just making them out of reach for many people.
You've got your own clinic in Castlemaine now. How often do you find that people are really worried about, you know, how much it's going to cost to help their pet?
Every day. Even for people with resources, it still can be a real push.
What happens when people can't afford the vet bills? How often does that happen?
That happens regularly as well. So what we do is, and many other clinics may provide some pro bono assistance, but there's only a limit to that. And then we might access other groups. So the Pet Medical Crisis Fund, we might see if we can access the money from them to help people. We might access the local shelter more, Mount Alexander Animal Welfare, to get some money. We might access community like CHIRP, a housing group. So other social services we will try and access. But there's a finite amount of things we can access. And having a regional community vet means that suddenly the game changes and there's subsidised vet care or low-cost or no-cost vet care in a local regional area. So people aren't then having to try to get to Melbourne to the handful of community vets.
Oh, wow. Okay, we'll get to what this vet clinic can do in a moment. But some people might be thinking, you know, well, why are vets so expensive? Are they making a lot of money? But I don't think that's the case, is it?
I know, it does seem like that. But the on-costs of vet clinics, I don't think people quite get. And I'm not trying to defend it. I'm just saying cost of drugs, cost of staff, all the on-costs, insurances, everything. And if you're a small business owner, even private people will know how much insurance has gone up and just the general cost of running a business, the taxing nature of that. So then all the prices just reflect those changes. So if you want to have blood tests done, the laboratories are charging more. If you want to have animal on medications, the pharmaceutical companies are charging more. So it's just in line with cost of living. And then trying to attract staff. So you have to be able to pay staff what they're demanding to be able to provide the service.
Well, because there's been a staff shortage for quite a while for vets, haven't they? And vet technicians or nurses, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. So there's a vet and a vet nurse drought in Australia, meaning it's very hard to get staff. And then the staff that you can get, you need to be able to remunerate them competitively because there's so many other jobs that they can probably demand whatever wage they want.
So let's go through what kind of services the clinic will offer and how it will work.
We have to start small. So initially we'll concentrate on preventative health care with the aim of, you know, keeping animals healthy and reduce their need to go to the vet for more serious issues. So we'll start off with vaccinations, try and reduce disease, and health checks just to try and pinpoint what could be coming. Dental checks is an important one because dental disease is one of the most common problems for dogs and cats and also one of the most expensive. So by getting in early, checking, using any prophylactic medication or treatment we can do may prevent a big procedure down the line. So that's a big, important one. And then we'll just look at the general health of the animal, maybe pick up any minor lumps, check them before they become too serious, and in that way we'll just start small and be able to provide that limited amount of service. And then as we get bigger, we hope to be able to do more, provide more procedures. Yeah, but at this stage, we've still got a bit of way to go. Mm-hmm. We need to do a bit more funding
and
fundraising.
Yeah, okay. But will the vets take turns in who will staff the clinic? Because it won't be staffed by the same people all the time, right?
That's right. So we will rely on a volunteer workforce. And so we've got one of the co-founders, that's their kind of responsibility, is to try and find access people who are willing to give back. So we'll get nurses and we'll find vets, and we'll probably have to draw from quite a wide area because there's not enough vets around here or nurses.
So Bendigo as well?
Yep, Bendigo, Melbourne.
Oh, wow.
Ballarat, Malden. We'll just put our feelers out and see if anybody wants to come up for a day, a month or a day every 6 months, you know, and have kind of a rolling roster.
What's the advantage for vets to put their hand up to volunteer for the clinic, given they're probably already stretched?
Yeah, it's just a different way of practicing. It's a bit of give back. You don't have to limit your service relying on money. So you can provide the best quality service, even though we're initially going to be limited, for that client without the stress of them having to pay. So it just, they're doing the same job, but it's with a different endpoint. I think no financial endpoint, no financial gain.
Okay.
Completely not for profit.
So the fund, you've got funding for a couple of years from the state government, is that right?
Yeah, so the state government has generously donated a large sum of money, which we're hoping to put towards a building in Campbell's Creek. So it's just the way we divide up the money, I guess. You could look at it as it's enough for a couple of years, but we now going to drive to find some more money to finish that building and then get things up and running.
So where will you be asking for, where will you be getting the rest of the money from?
So that's a good question. We're going to look at philanthropic organisations, vet industry partners, drug companies, lab companies. There's other grants out there. And then there's also smaller amounts in community members. So we're just going to see what we can get. If we can't get what we need, then we'll modify our plan and still provide the service, but in a different way.
And when are you hoping to be open?
I think, well, we're definitely hoping to be open within the next 18 months. But in the meantime, we'll start to run some programs. In fact, we've got a program scheduled in for the end of next month, which is just a de-sexing program. So we're going to encourage people with farm cats or cat colonies near them, and we'll de-sex them. So we're going to have that, and we'll run it. Probably run that out of my clinic on a volunteer basis of people bringing their cats
to
de-sexing. So we'll be able to do little things like that until we get our facilities up and running.